Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Postpartum sex. It's a mixture of excitement, fear, confusion, and a whole lot of new stuff. Not to mention a baby. Even if you've already been through a postpartum season before in your marriage, there's still a lot of new. What is it that's different about postpartum sex, and how can we prepare to meet those challenges, even if we've already experienced a pregnancy and postpartum season? That is exactly what we are answering today on the podcast. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. Postpartum is a season that many women and couples will experience at some point during their fertile years, and it can be a very confusing, scary, and difficult time. Knowing what to expect and having some tools on hand for when that time comes, even if you've already experienced a postpartum season, can improve your sex life and your relationship, not just short term, but for the long term as well. So we got this idea for this episode. A friend of mine texted me and she was like, "Do you have an episode on postpartum sex?" And I was like, "Absolutely, we do. Like, why wouldn't we?" Have already covered that topic. That's a wonderful topic that everybody needs to hear about. And I went back in the catalog and turns out we didn't have anything. So
How about them apples?
Let's talk about postpartum sex.
Sometimes it's the most obvious things that just like go and you're just like, of course I did that. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I did.
I was shocked. How did I not? Yeah. I was shocked that we hadn't like covered this because this is a point of time. And even if like, let's say you've been through postpartum before, but like you might expect to again at some point in the future, you know, you're not necessarily done having kids.
Right.
Highly recommend you listen to this episode because we're probably going to talk about things that you haven't thought about before. Or if you're like many years away from having kids being postpartum, I encourage you to listen to this too, just because that way you can kind of have it in the back of your mind. You can have that info. And then of course, if you're currently pregnant, great episode to listen to right now.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
And one more little plug if you're currently pregnant is we do have an episode on pregnancy sex. And we go through the different trimesters.
Yes.
So definitely go check that episode out.
Of course we covered pregnancy sex, but never thought to cover postpartum sex.
And this particular time is like so much more difficult.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about sex and sexual pleasure, not necessarily like avoiding pregnancy or NFP. We do actually have an episode on like postpartum NFP.
Yeah.
That's a different topic. We're going to be talking about like actually physically having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what we're going to start with, we're going to start with that like first time postpartum having sex because there's a lot going on. So
let's be a doozy.
Actually, let's look at it from the man's perspective first. I know this is sort of like why.
Yeah, no, it's important though. Super important.
But I think we need to like kind of lay this foundation and just kind of know like what's going on in your husband's mind right now. And then we'll talk about, the woman side of things, of that like first time postpartum. So prior that, you know, that last couple of months of pregnancy, sex was never like it didn't have to be off the table. It was available at any time. It was also probably kind of weird. Like it was different than it normally is. Maybe there was more, maybe there was less, maybe pleasure wasn't as easy for one or both of you because there's a big, huge belly in the way.
Yeah.
And then the baby comes and there is roughly 6 weeks of a complete stop on sex for good reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we put a caveat there? Because I know a lot of people tend to argue this, like, oh, I did it at 2 weeks, so I did it 3 or 4. Which, like, okay, hear ya, and glad everything went well, but there is a medical reason for that 6 week wait.
Yes.
You have a plate sized wound in your uterus that needs to heal. So, in order to prevent infection, that 6 week wait is really, really important. Again, for those that did not wait, super glad that did not happen to you. But it's not just this like arbitrary, like, oh, you have to because the doctor says and there's no real good reason for it. There is a good reason for it. So,
yes. Very, very good reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is like your body has just been through a lot beyond the huge gaping wound that is bleeding.
Right.
Beyond that, your body is too tired, especially in the first like 4 weeks, to actually like enjoy it at all or just like even be ready for it. Because postpartum, like if you've ever gone for a walk at like 5 days postpartum, you can't. Like, your body isn't ready for. I remember going for a walk, like a probably less than a quarter of a mile. Like it was literally just this like little loop around like one little spot of my neighborhood. And I like got back and was just wiped and couldn't. I was just like, I can't believe I did that.
And
felt like I ran a marathon.
And if you've had a C-section, it's even worse, right? So always be very, very careful with how you treat that recovery. With Levi, he was my first C-section. He was born on October 16th. And when Halloween came, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good to like walk around a little bit with the kids. I mean, I had my in-laws with me and my husband and everything. But I was walking, did not walk like particularly far. And it felt like with every step, I was like reopening my stitches. And I was like, I should probably go home and sit down. So it was like, you know, it is. But that was like, what, two and a half weeks later, right? And it was still, that was still kind of happening. So yeah, we're not good as women about taking care of ourselves and healing a lot of the time, right? So it is one of those things that's, you almost need to be hyper vigilant about your rest and your healing because your body's been through a lot.
Absolutely. So there's just a further argument for why your doctor makes you wait.
Yeah.
You know, 5 to 7 weeks. It sort of depends on like when they schedule that checkup, but you need to listen to your doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. So from back on like that man's perspective, just like what's going on for him, right? Is, you know, there is now a new child, there is new stress. You know, his wife is busy, is busier objectively, right? There is just another person to take care of. And there's just a complete inability to, you know, come together in that unitive act, right? So basically, what I'm laying out here is that at that point when your doctor gives you the go ahead, your husband is probably very excited. In a good way, not in like a, you know, lustful, like, I just got to get this done. Like, I got to ejaculate or else I'm going to explode. Like, no, that is not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, your husband is excited to come together.
And I feel like it's one of those things where they can, like, often feel during that time, like during those 6 weeks, that they're like put on the back burner, right? Like, it's just kind of like, you're not only are you busy, but you're just like exhausted. You're probably not sleeping well, right? Like you are probably touched out because you're like maybe nursing, right? Like this baby every couple hours, like, right? Like, and it can very much feel this like, I don't want anyone near me. I don't want anyone to touch me. I just need to sleep. I just need to rest, right? And, you know, your husband could very well feel like they're just kind of put on the back burner for right now. So this is an exciting time for them.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, that might not be how the woman feels. Now, if that is your experience and you're very excited, then great. This advice isn't necessarily for you. Like, that's wonderful that you're excited. But what happens a lot for women is a big fear of that first intercourse postpartum. Because, like, if... you know, there was this gaping wound, right? There was a lot of bleeding. There was a lot of healing. There was a lot of pain. And it's kind of just like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen if something enters my body again, where a big baby just came out, especially if there was tearing, which
is that's what I was going to say.
Relatively common.
Yeah.
If you had tearing, if you have stitches, I know that can be like really scary of just like, oh my gosh, like, did my doctor check properly? Are the stitches actually healed? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, how is it going to feel? If there's stitches, then your body's going to stretch differently. And so it's like, is my vaginal opening going to open enough? Because like my body has the stitches and it hasn't done this in a long time. It hasn't done it with the stitches, right? So there's just like a lot of merited fear, yeah. Honestly.
It's sort of like the same anxiety we get about our first postpartum poop.
Right? Oh my gosh, like, yes.
That is like a moment where you're just like, do I have to poop before I leave the hospital? Please, no. And there's a lot of preparation for that, right? You're like taking Dulcilax and like Senna and like whatever it is, to, like, right? Like, but it's that same sort of anxiety of this, like, how is this going to feel? There was so much that happened down there. Is this going to hurt? Like, you know, just not that the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we recommend prior to that first time postpartum to help kind of alleviate some of that fear from both a mental and a physical like direction is once you have that go ahead from your doctor, you probably should not do this prior to having the go ahead because you don't know if everything is healed. But once you do have that go ahead, and if you really are feeling a lot of that fear, don't immediately have sex. Don't have sex out of a feeling of, oh my gosh, my husband wants it, so I have to give it to him, even though I am like so fearful right now. That is not a healthy place to be coming together with your spouse. And you need to communicate that to your husband, and your husband needs to respect that. Yeah. Otherwise, that's not a healthy relationship. Yeah. And maybe, you know, I'm just saying it as it is. Like, if that is not able to be respected, you guys need to go to counseling and work out, because that's not okay. Like, right. That has to be respected. So if you have that fear, particularly of like, am I going to open enough? Am I going to stretch enough? Like, how is this going to feel? Perineal massage is really, really good for working on those muscles. You know, basically what's happened, right, is the muscles in your pelvic floor have been like stretched, and now they're like, they've healed together. And a lot of times they might be tight, they might be loose. They might be tight and loose depending on the spot. Pelvic floor work can be very helpful. Seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist, occupational therapist, pelvic floor specialist. There's a range of pelvic floor people that you can see. Mm-hmm. But perineal massage is something that your husband can do. And it's really, the perineum is between the vaginal opening and the anus. And it's massage. And what it's going to do, like a massage on the back, is it's going to help, loosen up those muscles, relax them, work out any knots. Because your pelvic floor, like, you know, your back and shoulders, I feel like almost everybody has like back and shoulder, you know, tightness, right? Your pelvic floor is a muscle. And so it gets knots. It gets that tightness. And so you can have your husband massage that area, similar to if you ask for a back rub.
Right.
Now, there is, I know that it can be kind of confusing of like, but that's foreplay, you know? Like,
yeah.
If he's touching me down there. Like, so there's a couple of ways to look at this. One is, this is a fabulous activity to do during foreplay for that first time coming back postpartum. And it can help you to alleviate any of those fears that you might be feeling. At the same time, foreplay is, you know, we're talking about stimulating toward sexual pleasure. If your husband is massaging a part of your body for, you know, a medical reason, and it is not arousing you, then that's not foreplay.
Right.
He is truly just helping you, you know, kind of work out the muscles. He's massaging a part of your body. Same thing as if you asked for a foot rub, right? But like, let's follow that foot rub example, right? You ask for a foot rub, maybe you're not thinking about sex, but like, it starts getting you aroused. You have two options. You can say, oh, hey, you know what? That's probably enough on the foot rub. If you're like, we're not open to having sex tonight, right? Maybe you're in your fertile window, you're trying to avoid pregnancy, or just something else is going on. It's just like, sex is just not an option. Then you can be like, okay, that's enough foot rub for me. because we shouldn't be intentionally arousing ourselves or having our spouses intentionally arouse ourselves outside of the context of actually having sex. Or in the foot rub example, the other option is you start to get aroused and you can kind of like, you can say words, you can give the look, you can be like, hey, like, you want to take this a little further? You want to take this up a notch, right?
Yeah.
Those are your options. Same goes for this perineum massage, right? If it does start arousing you, you have two options. You can say, okay, that's enough for right now. Let's pause. Or you can continue on.
Yeah, whatever you want, whatever works.
Really quick, before we get on with the rest of the episode, I just wanted to ask you that if this podcast has blessed you in any way, or you've learned something from this podcast, would you please rate and review this podcast? The reviews in particular really help people find this podcast and benefit from it. So I would be so grateful if you would rate and review the podcast. What do you have, Kathleen?
I mean, what I have is I think what we have for like whenever we talk about first times and, you know, just kind of like the basic number one go to is just lube, 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 lube,
yes.
Lube, lube, lube. Yeah. And just how, just don't underestimate the power that that can have.
The power that can,
and just making it an enjoyable experience and a comfortable experience, right?
Yeah.
That combined with the understanding that, you know, lube and time, those are the two things, I think. Don't plan for this first time to be just like when you have something to get to, or you know, you're just kind of like, you got to get to bed at a certain time. So you only have this much time. That's not the time to do this.
Like, make sure, block off like at least an hour. Like, give yourself at least a chunk. Yeah,
exactly.
Of time.
Where you can really take as much time as you need to. Because if it is uncomfortable at first, right, then you're going to, like, okay, you want to back up and you want to work on more foreplay, maybe more massage, right? Maybe whatever it is, but also just lube. Yeah, because I mean, I don't really need to say why, but it could be tighter than before.
Actually,
just
feeling. We can go into that a little bit, because I think something that can be surprising is if you haven't needed lube in the past, if you haven't needed lubrication, you very likely will need it at least for a chunk of time postpartum. Mm-hmm. And that is just because you're not cycling, that's the same fluids are not moving through your vaginal canal as they normally are. And so you are just generally drier. And then in addition to that, just your process of arousal changes. You are tired now. Your body has gone through a lot of changes. It's gone through pregnancy. And so the amount of arousal fluid that your body creates might be different. Now, for some women, it might be way more. Like, you might be like, I do not need lube now that I've had a baby. Like, great. Awesome. Now you don't need to buy lube.
True.
But I think, like, sometimes, a lot of times, like, the opposite will happen is like, wow, I never needed lube before. My body lubricated itself plenty during foreplay, but now postpartum, I do need assistance. And so our recommendation is going to be like, just get some lube in anticipation of that. Even if you've never had to before, it's not expensive. Our top recommendation is sweet almond oil.
Love it.
That is it's very inexpensive. I mean, you can get a huge bottle of it for like $5 or $10. Like, it's just not expensive. It's very close to the pH, the natural pH of your vagina. And oil is a great lubricant because you don't have to reapply it and you don't have to be as liberal with it as a water-based lube. Water-based lubes get tacky. You have to reapply after about 15 minutes. And in this first time postpartum, that time of foreplay might be a lot longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So just kind of know that if you're going with a lot water-based lube, is recognize like you will need to reapply and you need to be very liberal with it. So just kind of like keep that in mind, like order some now if you're pregnant.
Right. If you're near
it can
the
also
end.
Help during pregnancy. Like if you can sometimes be a lot drier during pregnancy as well. If you need lube and you've never needed lube before, this is what it will feel like when you go to like intercourse. When you move to penetration, it might feel like you can't, like the penis cannot enter. It might feel like it can, but it's like too tight. But you're like, but I'm aroused. Like, I don't understand why it's too tight.
Yeah.
That's a lubrication issue. It might feel like a burning sensation right at the vaginal entrance.
Yep.
It might feel like a burning sensation a little bit lower. The I'm going through like the list.
Yeah, no, this is really
good. The penis might be able to enter about halfway and then get kind of stuck. And there might be kind of some burning where, like at the point where the tip of the penis is, like partially inside. Yeah. Those are all really common experiences that if you feel any of those, that means lubrication.
Yeah.
If you feel acute pain, that means you need more arousal.
Yeah.
So if it's like a small pain and but more of a burning or itching, that's a lubrication issue. If it's an acute pain, if it's like, oh my gosh, this hurts, the penis is not going in, that means you need to take a step back and work on opening. Arousal. Your vaginal canal needs to open more.
Yeah. That's really helpful. That's like really, that was like the most detailed I think I've ever heard it. That's great.
There you go. My certificate in the fundamentals of sex therapy.
Love it.
At work for you.
Love that. I love that. The one other thing that I do want to talk about, and this is based on my own personal experience, I tend to get a little more anxious immediately postpartum, and particularly with my last two pregnancies, both of them were emergency C-sections, and I found just like having come out of like a major surgery, that anxiety was like super ramped up. So with my last baby, a year and a half ago, my doctor actually put me on Zoloft just for like postpartum anxiety and all of that. And it was great. It helped. However, I quickly found out that an accumulation of any SSRI medication, which is like a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or whatever it stands for, any SSRI medication often causes a like severe lack in libido, and not even just libido, but the ability to achieve orgasm.
Right. It's actually like affects the, it affects how your muscles talk to your body and how like your nerve system actually is like feeling things.
Yes.
And so like that feeling of sexual pleasure might actually be very difficult or almost unattainable.
Yeah. And what I actually learned is that this, because you're like, you know, feeding your body more serotonin essentially to kind of like, you know, get rid of the anxiety. I learned that a increase in serotonin in higher levels or increased levels actually inhibits testosterone. Yeah. So if you're inhibiting, you know, testosterone is like kind of the hormone we want to get us aroused and have sex. So when you're inhibiting testosterone, it's a lot harder. So for me, it got to the point where my husband said I was like experiencing erectile dysfunction. Like it was just like I was completely unable. It didn't matter, like all the magic buttons that he normally pushes did nothing. And it was a very strange sensation. And eventually I did realize that yeah, okay, the only thing that's different, like I never experienced that before where it was just like nothing could help.
Yeah.
And it was almost like numbness, you know what I mean? Like I could just like feel that he was like there pushing all the buttons, but they just like did nothing positive. So for me, I felt that my anxiety was better and more manageable, and that a good sex life was too much of a priority for us particularly. So I went off of the medication. That is not to say that that's what everybody should do, but it is something you should talk to your husband about and talk to your doctor about if you experience that side effect. First, maybe are there supplements I can take to sort of counteract? And if not, how am I feeling emotionally? Do I feel like I can handle a wean off of this and see what it goes? And then also discuss with others to kind of come up with a plan of what your priorities are and what is sort of the best to do. But that's
something. And you can also talk to your doctor about dosage as well, because that can, you know, that can change things. The other thing that I wanted to mention is something that comes up, and this, there's so much research about it, which is hilarious because it doesn't work, is it's like, oh, well, SSRIs are inhibiting testosterone, so all we need to do is supplement testosterone. That does not work in women. Like, it literally doesn't work. The testosterone supplementation worked as well as a placebo, which was, like, almost none. Like, nothing. There was very little change. The placebo actually works better.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
So I think something else to remember is the power of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you can just will yourself into, you know, perfect, like, sex life. I don't know. But your mind is so incredibly powerful. And what you tell yourself is honestly what happens, right?
Yeah.
So if you, you know, are on an SSRI and you just tell yourself that this is just not possible because of my SSRI, then it's not going to be possible.
Right.
And so I just want to kind of encourage you that, like, while this is, it truly is a very common side effect of SSRIs. Also, it's not a side effect for every single person.
Right.
And it's just important to remember that your mindset makes a huge difference in sexual pleasure. And it's important to talk to yourself positively and talk to yourself, like, tell yourself that sexual pleasure is good and possible and something that you want and enjoyable and things like that. And that is just another way to kind of combat this particular SSRI issue, but then also just any issue you're having with sexual pleasure at any time. Like, you have to allow your brain to do the work that it can do. Like, your brain is very, very powerful.
Yeah. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.